Thank you very much. Good day to all of you. I would also like to welcome you to today's telephone conference. Thank you for your participation, and thank you for taking your time. By the way, there's also an English simultaneous interpretation of this conference. 30 minutes ago, we released a press release on the current situation in our divisions, Power and Gas and Process Industry and Drives. This informed you about our planned measures. We take these measures to respond to the structural market change in the area of fossil power generation. Now, in this call, we would like to give you the broader picture of the measures and then give you the opportunity to ask questions. I would like to welcome Mrs. Janina Kugel, Labor Director, then the CEO of the divisions Power and Gas, Mr. Willy Meixner, as well as the CEO of the division Process Industries and Drives, Mr. Jürgen Brandes. Mrs. Kugel will give you an introduction, and then she, as well as Mr. Meixner and Mr. Brandes, are happy to take your questions. I would like to hand over to Mrs. Kugel.
Thank you very much, Clarissa. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for accepting our invitation to the telephone conference at such short notice. We heard a lot of speculations and rumors in the past weeks, and now we would like to clarify the situation as quickly and as transparently as possible, as announced last week. Today, the Economic Committee met in Munich. During this meeting, we informed the employees' representatives about the adjustments which we have to take in our divisions, Power and Gas, Power Generation Services, and Power Industries and Drives. Allow me to give you the broader picture. In the context of our annual press conference last week, and also on the basis of other events, we reported that Siemens is excellently set up. However, there are massive changes in the market, and they have an impact on us, on the conventional power generation, as well as the oil and gas market. Our affected divisions, our customers and competitors, fight with very difficult structural problems. I guess you have heard about this in the past days. So give you more details in this regard. Concerning power and gas, the market shifts extremely quickly away from conventional to renewable energies, from central to decentral. Worldwide, the production capacity for large gas turbines is around 400 units. This year, only a bit more than 120 were ordered. In Europe, particularly in Germany, the market for large gas turbines hardly exists, so there are dramatic overcapacities. As you know, in the past years, we have already taken different measures to increase our competitiveness in power and gas. The management and the employees have worked hard and accepted much hardship. It helped us, just like with a large-scale project in Egypt. However, it's not enough to make the business fit for the future under the given circumstances. Concerning Process Industries and Drives, the situation is particularly difficult, particularly in the commodity market, because our customers still hesitate to invest. Whether in oil and gas, in mining, in steel production, or shipbuilding, the demand for large electric motors, the so-called large drives, clearly declined in the past years, and the recuperation is not in sight. As with power and gas, we did start restructuring measures. However, we can only manage the increasing overcapacities if we adjust ourselves further. This means that we have to accept cutbacks, and as presented today by the Economic Committee, their planning was not presented by us carelessly today, and we did not accept it carelessly. The fundamental question in this regard is, do we believe in the future of our divisions? We can answer this with a clear yes. Well, concerning the energy mix of the future, gas turbines, together with renewables, will play a major role. And we have the opportunity to design the shift to renewables 2.0. The same applies to Process Industries and Drives. The market for electric motors changes. However, we are ready to change ourselves and to be at the forefront again. Again, what does the future hold? Well, we would like to ensure that our divisions, Power and Gas, Power Generation Services, Process Industries and Drives, will remain competitive. We want to use the know-how in power plant technology concerning generators and also concerning electric motors. This should remain in Germany. So we will invest into future technologies, but we will also perform the necessary adjustments. Our consolidation plan foresees to increase the capacity of our plants to improve
increase the efficiency of our divisions and to bundle the skills. Concerning jobs, that means, well, over several years, in sum, around 6,900 jobs will be lost, and half of those in Germany. So much on our planning, just roughly. We know that we shoulder a very large responsibility, and we will shoulder it with reasonable care and fairness. This is why we would like to start our deliberations with the employee representatives as fast as possible. When the discussions are concluded, does not just depend on us, but we hope that we will do this in the fiscal year of 2018. I guess you will have questions, Mr. Meixner, Mr. Brandes, and I will now take your questions. Thank you. Thank you very much, Janina, for this broader picture. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our Q&A session. We are looking forward to taking your questions. First of all, we will hear the German questions and then the English ones. I would like to hand over to the operator. She will explain to you how you can ask questions. Thank you very much. If you would like to ask a question, then please press the star button followed by the number one on your telephone. Now there's a question. Michael Flemming by the Börsen-Zeitung is asking the first question.
Well, good day, Börsen-Zeitung. Good day to Ms. Halle, Ms. Kugel, Mr. Brandes, Mr. Meixner. I've got two questions in total. First of all, how did you, well, conduct the discussion in the Economic Committee? What kind of atmosphere did prevail? And furthermore, are there any signals that the Works Council representatives are happy to engage in consultation soon with you? And the next question, as you could hear and read, is there were also deliberations to have jobs from other markets relocated. Have you got any concrete plans on that?
Thank you very much, Mr. Flemming, for your question. As you can imagine, and this is what I also told the Economic Committee, it was a session by the Economic Committee which was not new to Siemens, but it was new to me in my new role. And the atmosphere was, on the one hand, quite tense because of the speculations on the market. On the other hand, of course, we were pretty sad after we had presented the planning. Anything else could hardly be expected. Nobody expected different from us. So on the one hand, 115,000 employees work in Germany, but more than 3,000 in Germany is, of course, a significant number, and this means that there are individuals attached to it. So this is why the atmosphere was clearly a sad one. We presented the plan for a long time. The employees did not ask many detailed questions, but they did present their list of demands to us. They told us what they expect, and one of the demands was, or the request was, that they want to see a long-term planning, a planning which ensures competitiveness for Germany in the long run. This is what we did. This is included in our plans, and we will talk about this later in the call. We did present a detailed plan, and we clearly focus on the things, on the skills that we would like to bundle in Germany. This was our reply. So in so far, I think it's fair to say that the atmosphere was sad, but still constructive. The negotiations, well, in mid-November, or within the next calendar year, we will be able to take up the negotiations. If you know the business, that you know that business comes first. We have to compile the negotiation teams. We need to talk to the employees' representatives. They have to team up in project groups, and I talked to the employees' representatives about it. They will do that in the next few weeks. One question, Mr. Flemming. You talked about the relocation. Well, we also said, and I said it in my introduction, that we need to fully utilize our capacities. If a plant has a capacity of 60%, it is not profitable. Now, due to the decline in the market, due to the structural changes, our plants are not running at their full capacity globally. So we need to bundle capacities and skills in order to have 100% capacity at sites. This makes us competitive, and this ensures the future viability of the business. As a logical step in a global context, activities have to be relocated from one spot to the other, or to be transferred. Let me put it like this. Now, this does not mean that we just shift things. This was the speculation in your question, but for structural reasons and due to the infrastructure, we need to see what we have, and then we have to decide how to bundle it in the best manner. One more remark, and then Mr. Brandes and Mr. Meixner can explain this further to you. Imagine it like this. In a factory in which large gas turbines are built, you need an infrastructure. So you need access to logistics, to the water, for example. You need cranes which can lift several tons. You need large infrastructural towers like a bunker. So this is like a bike. Sometimes you have to balance out the wheels. So those are driving factors, and we need to think about it, and we need to consider which capacities can be bundled where.
Well, thank you for that.
The next question, Michael Reiner from the Bayerischer Rundfunk.
Hello, Michael Reiner here from the broadcasting unit. If you add all these figures up with power and gas, that means for Nürnberg and Offenbach, it's about 700 jobs that will remain amalgamated together. And 700 jobs will be lost. So how can you split them or break them down exactly? And what about process and drives? You have about 190 left over. Will you then also have, the Nürnberg site affected by these cuts?
Willy and Jürgen, you have the floor.
Well, I'll start maybe. Regarding power and gas, the plans that we've introduced here is, of course, to answer the structural changes in the market. They will contain, first of all, to retain our network, but also to have our solutions business alive and kicking. That's where we build our gas power plants, like the one that we're building in Egypt at the moment. And also in this business, given the massive reduction in volume, we also have to see our engineering and other capacities need to be bundled, so that the plans we've devised so far for these various sites in Nürnberg and in Offenbach, and on top of that also a site in Austria, these three sites will be bundled together at the site in Erlangen. We will do so, and we will do it in a manner that those jobs who have the competencies and the competence that we need and the skills also going forward will be able to also help us to build future power plants, like, for example, the one in Egypt or the one currently under construction in Berlin, Marzahn, that they can be professionally handled. Does that mean? Did I understand that correctly? You will shift them to Erlangen? The plans are our plans that over time we will concentrate our skills in Erlangen. Questions, that means that in Erlangen, jobs will be lost or not, or will they be shifted from other sites?
Well, this is part of the negotiations, as Mr. Meixner just described. At the three sites in Europe, Offenbach, Erlangen, and also Vienna, the same or similar activities will be done in this planning of the project processing. So we have to ensure that we can bundle the capacities and then to summarize them. This is part of the negotiations with the employees' representatives.
But if I understood this correctly, the focal point will be in Erlangen?
Today, the focal point of these employees is in Erlangen.
And it will stay in Erlangen?
We will tell you as soon as we have finished with the activities.
Well, this is Jürgen Brandes now speaking. I may just say a few words about process industry and drives, and I can say that the bulk of the adjustments will not be in the region of Bavaria or Franconia. And I'm a bit surprised that we have this, well, local political approach to the whole affair. But if I can be quite direct, it's the number of jobs in Nuremberg, double digits, in the lower double digit range where we'll lose jobs in Nuremberg.
Let me just give you an explanation from my side. Many of the plans, I said this in my introduction, will run for several years because, of course, we need to set up the operational business. We need to re-bundle everything and find new orientation in the market. You just mentioned the sites, Nürnberg, Erlangen, and Offenbach, and employees are affected which work in the so-called white-collar segment, so engineers, R&Ds, sales, and also cross-divisional activities like HR, IT, etc. You just addressed a few sites, and no workers are affected at those sites.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. The next question is asked by Oliver Fatgo from Bloomberg.
Good afternoon. I would have two questions. One of them has already been dealt with. The remaining one then refers to the restructuring costs. I could not see anything there in the press release, but could you give us an estimate what size of restructuring costs you reckon with?
Yes, honestly, I can just repeat the question from the press conference. You might remember that my colleague Dr. Thomas said, and this has not changed, that there will be higher the restructuring costs than in the concluded fiscal year 2017. We can only put a figure to that when we have had negotiations with the employees' representatives. So please be patient. Next question, please. Thank you very much. Yes, the next question is asked by Alex Höppner from the Handelsblatt.
Good day. Excuse me, Ms. Haller. I would have a question about work-related terminations, which you're not excluding. Do you think these will be individual cases, or will there be, well, more than a few individual terminations of contract? And in your interpretation, how will that affect Radolfzell? It doesn't say anything here. Oh, it says only by mutual agreement in Radolfzell. So what is the situation with Radolfzell 2?
Thank you very much, Mr. Höppner, for your question. I think it can be interpreted differently, or was interpreted differently in the past weeks. We make a statement, and I would like to clearly repeat the statement again. Still, we are interested in finding a constructive dialogue with the employees. We would like to have this dialogue, and we would like to do without compulsory redundancies. Now, to give you the broader picture, it's about voluntary programs, but it's also about things like societies for work, employees can be re-socialized, etc. This is all part of a catalog of voluntary measures. Now, if, and this is the opening provision which is contained in Radolfzell 2, if the framework conditions make it necessary or given the circumstances, if compulsory redundancies can no longer be excluded, then we will talk to the trade union, IG Metall, to the employees' representatives and to the works council and find a solution. This is intended, so I can only answer the question once we know the results of the negotiations. I'm optimistic, however. I'm pretty sure that we will achieve a lot through voluntary measures. It's a bit more difficult with jobs where we have already taken earlier restructuring measures and where, as a consequence, employees had reached a certain age, or maybe they are 63 years old, they could retire, but still they are very young, or maybe they are very young, they try to find something new. So then the structure of the workforce is not that easy anymore because people are right in the middle of their career and the decisions are often harder to take for the individual. This is why this topic has to be finally discussed when we have started the negotiations. So my statement, Mr. Höppner, is as follows. So I'm only saying that Radolfzell 2 does not exclude compulsory redundancies for all activities, but there is this opening clause in our agreement.
You want to avoid them, but you can't exclude them. Is that right?
That's right. Question, please. Thank you very much. The next question is asked by Alexander Hübner from Reuters.
Yes, I'd like to follow up straight away to what was just discussed. You keep it a bit blurred when you say in the next few years you want to reduce the number of jobs. Now, what kind of time frame are you thinking about, or what kind of time window are you operating with or you will be dependent on? And, of course, I mean, it will be very much contingent on the flexibility, whether you can do this without any forced redundancies. The second question would be, have I understood you correctly that the site in Offenbach as such will also be closed, or is there something else in the bush? Sorry if I'm not so familiar with your sites. And the other thing that I think or felt was left open is the question, is there any possibility, or are there possibilities, as already has been hinted at, that, well, other sites, for example, I'm thinking here of smaller sites, for example, that they could have their work shifted to other sites as a countermeasure?
Thank you very much, Mr. Hübner. Let me start with the last two questions, and Mr. Meixner will tell you more about the time frame. So the site Offenbach. In Europe, there are three sites, Vienna, Offenbach, and Erlangen. There, we employ people who perform the planning for our business, for solutions. And they sometimes have identical job descriptions. So they check the construction sites, they do the planning, etc. So this means higher losses, the significant three-digit millions probably. We need to bundle the capacities. How the teams will then be bundled or compiled is part of the negotiations with the employees in the discussions which we are going to have with them. Now, the last question dealt with shifts. You asked whether activities will be shifted from one side to the other. Now, to put it simply, imagine two factories. They don't run at full capacity. However, the skills profile of the employees, the infrastructure, the production side is such that they produce the same product at one side, then of course we need to bundle the activities. This is what we presented today in our plan. So that means that jobs and activities will be transferred within the global footprint. However, this also means, and this is the offer which we always make to employees, we tell them, well, your work is shifted to a different site, then of course we offer the employee to also relocate. According to my experience, in reality, this is partly accepted by the employees. Just a few employees in the countries accept it. Usually it's less than 10%. Less than 10% say, yes, I'm going to relocate as well to perform my activity. We can only put a figure to it when we have made progress in the negotiations. I think it's self-explaining. As soon as you know as an individual what it means, you can take your decision.
Excuse me, could I just follow it up? My question related, for example, looking at a site such as Görlitz or Leipzig, if you want to save that site, you say, okay, we won't produce any gas turbines there anymore, but maybe it would be feasible to have things produced out where we don't have, well, the space or the employees in other sites, but they could also do them, for example, Görlitz, or have work shifted from other divisions in a kind of compensatory movement. Why are these sites not to be rescued at all?
Well, you can always consider compensation possibilities. One thing we cannot do is to come up with an infrastructure, a site structure, where there's always under capacity. This is what we discussed today when we presented the plans. This has to do with the global footprint of power and gas, It has to do with Germany. There is a lot of undercapacity. There is no possibility of compensation. If it were different, then of course today we would not have presented the plans that we did present.
Allow me to just maybe add something about the time frame we have in mind. Now, what's important is that the Division Power and Gases is, of course, a globally operative division. And, of course, a large part of our sites and our employees are located outside of Europe. Now, the structural program we've presented today is a global program. And the time frames that we have defined for the implementation is, of course, also differing from country to country. Only looking at the United States here, we are also talking about 1,800 jobs that will be shed. Then we do assume that these will be measures that we will have implemented before 2020. Looking now at the German sites, and also the various expenses and efforts necessary to shift and relocate some of these capacities, then of course that relocation will take in itself 2 to 3 years, so that we also assume that in an ideal world the bulk of the measures have and will be implemented by 2020. But at the same time, we are fully aware that a large part of these measures, or many of these measures, could also exceed the 2020 timescale, even up until 2021-2022. Now, I think this is also something that you can read out of our press release, and I think from our competitive situation, that we do approach this structural change in a focused and in a coherent manner, and that we make sure that we fully utilize our future centers of competence, that we're sure that they will be working flat out, because, of course, that will give us a competitive edge going forward. Thank you very much for that statement.
Next question, please. Thank you very much. The next question is asked by Rüdiger Kuhn of FAZ.
Good day. Now, I'm sorry, there's a few other items that I want to come back to. Ms. Kugel, you mentioned about the possibility of finding an agreement in the fiscal year 2018. Now, I assume that will be the absolute deadline. You will have to have an agreement by the end of the fiscal year 2018. Is that right? Because, of course, time is pressing, giving the dramatic situation in the market, and that, of course, follows up on the last statements just made. If you say by 2020 you want to have the measures implemented, but it could also take a little longer, how can you then, in the next 3 years, survive them if we're simply, talking about a world where we have fourfold the capacities, fourfold outstripping the demand? Aren't you under enormous pressure to act swifter? Are these measures, therefore, sufficient and adequate? Secondly, you have so far shout out the issue of compulsory redundancies. I mean, there is a possibility for them, aren't they? Both with power and gases as well as the process industry drive divisions, we have already seen, redundancies, or there will be future compulsory redundancies. No, what has just now been announced is, of course, in this dimension, nothing that you can do with voluntary measures. Isn't that right? Aren't you somewhat trying to shilly-shallow the issue?
Thank you very much, Mr. Kuhn, for your questions. So the deadline in 2018, I think I noticed this in passing at the annual press conference. Right now, we would like to implement the measures, but we need to distinguish between the implementation of the measures in Germany and implementation of the measures worldwide. As Mr. Meixner said, it's a global adjustment proposals which we made today. I agree with you. The market, the time is pressing. We have to act quickly. The faster we act and the faster we manage the cost situation, the better it will be for ensuring the competitiveness in the future. This is why I tell the employees' representatives that we are ready for the discussion, that we want to have constructive discussions. But as I said before, it takes two to tango. And in Germany, on the one hand, we have started with the negotiations, and we need to see what the potential is. Employees and the employer do not really agree, and this will, of course, all play a role. I'm still optimistic that we can do this fast, and to me, this was a scenario I totally agree. The faster the better, not just for us and the cost situation, but also the better for the employees to know what the situation really is. Now, the question about redundancies, whether I really say what is on the table or not. Well, I can only repeat my answer to Mr. Höppner. He asked the same question before. I think we lose time if I repeat my answer. I'm not trying to get out of the situation. I can only tell you when I know how many employees accept the voluntary measures. One thing is certain. In normal negotiations, we will not just announce something and say the only measure that we foresee are compulsory redundancies. This is only done by a small-sized company. Usually, we always have voluntary measures and then wait for the development until we arrive at further conclusions.
Thank you very much for that.
Very much. And the next question is asked by Frank Messing by WAZ.
Yes, Frank Messing in Essen from the newspapers there. I'm mainly interested in the site in Mülheim. He announced 640 jobs will be shed and cut there. In the press release, however, you also say that the power generation in Erfurt and in Mülheim, or shall be focused in Erfurt and in Mülheim. So my question is, what does that mean? How does that translate into workspaces in Mülheim?
Willy, can you answer this, please?
I could say something about the precedent that drives here. Indeed, Erfurt has indeed got unique capacities to build large drives. That's quite right. And therefore, we have decided that in Erfurt, as well as in Mülheim, we will have the large electric drives built in future. But part of the production of the Dynamo factory will shift and be relocated to Erfurt. Having said so, and that is, by the way, the biggest relocation, we're talking here about a loss of jobs in the region of, in Berlin, of 580 jobs will be lost in Berlin. But bear in mind that in Mülheim and in Erfurt, we already have, of course, a workforce that can assume their jobs. So you can't, therefore, take this to mean that these jobs will therefore be created in Mülheim or Erfurt. So, Mr. Bonnet, I would like to add that the Mülheim site is, of course, next to another U.S. site, the site that is responsible for the large gas turbines. And as Janina Kugel already said, that ultimately we have an infrastructure already in these sites for, well, shipping them with the necessary cranes to lift them, all which is, of course, mandatory and important to actually run that operation with the large gas turbines. So we will react in the manner that we will focus the big gas turbines in Mülheim, but, of course, also giving the structural changes, we will also have massive excess capacities, which means that's why we will cut the workforces partly there. So, in sum total, we will have one center of competencies for gas turbines in a significantly scaled-down overall market to make sure that we have the competitiveness in the future that we need for steam turbines. And that will be in Mülheim, is the question? The plans envisage that to be in Mülheim indeed.
Well, Mülheim is and will remain a competence center for large steam turbines, and I think this is a very important statement for Mülheim. Thank you very much. The next question is asked by Gerhard Hegmann from Die Welt.
Good day. I also would have two follow-up questions. It was pointed out that this is a worldwide restructuring program. Now, when the first speculations came up, we heard about 11 different factories and sites, or 23, that could either be sold, closed, or that will be affected severely by job losses. Could you substantiate once more how many plants and factories worldwide will be affected, how many will be closed? Then the second question is, have I understood you correctly that you said So 1,800 jobs that will be affected in the United States shall be removed or shall be cut by 2020, while in Germany, factory closures could take all the way up to 2022, 2023. Is that right?
Could you answer the question, please?
Certainly, I will take over. Well, first of all, we have not spoken of 11 factory closures, no. As I said initially, or as Janina said, we have really thought hard and fast in the last 12 months. How can we react alongside the measures that we already took in 2015 as part of the Strategy 2020, where we were all about to work through the important strategic jobs like in Egypt? How do we react to the structural changes we can see in these markets? Now, the plans that we have introduced and presented today affect Germany, are quite detailed for Germany, and are pretty detailed. But if you look at the United States, you can see that there, at the moment, we are still evaluating the situation. And there's also, of course, other labor laws to be considered, because you first will have to talk with the trade unions before you then begin to communicate your plans. So therefore, you will not hear any figures about the worldwide number of plants affected. The question is, when you say the time frame for Germany has already been pretty much thrashed out, when can we expect to see Leipzig and Görlitz to be closed? Answer by Mr. Meixner. Well, from my perspective, these are, well, matters for the consultation upcoming. I mean, my expectation is to do so as quickly as necessary, but of course, at the end of the day, it will be a matter of detailing the plans to rework them through, and from that we will then have an ensuing time frame. But of course, what does that mean, as fast as possible? As Mr. Mike said, well, fast would be by 2020, but also we can't do this within a space in 2.5 years. We are quite clear about this as well. Thank you.
Mr. Hegman, one more thing should be mentioned for a better evaluation. You talked about the global footprint. The entire concept focuses on new machines. Where could new generators or turbines be produced? And it's also where do we produce services? Now, in the factory, something new is built, but there are also generators and services. So the entire footprint comprises the two divisions, power and gas, power and services. Where could the two cooperate? What is the consolidation? So then we talk about large scale and small scale sites. It's very important to understand this. You can't just imagine a factory and we say, here we do the new production, in the other factory we do services only. No, we bundle it.
Thank you very much for that clarification.
Next question, please. The next question is asked by Manuela Dollinger from the Münchner Merkur. Good day to all of you. I have two follow-up questions. We talked about competence centers, which are meant to be built up. Where would you like to see them built up? And then one question on the number of open jobs. Well, the aim is to shift the affected employees. Right now the number is 3,200, but how many jobs are open in Germany currently? Well, let me start with the last question, Mrs. Dollinger. In Germany, 800 jobs are open. This, of course, fluctuates throughout the year. Had you asked me one quarter before, then the number would be higher. Around 1,000 is a good figure. This was usually the number of open jobs in Germany. Now, the competence centers, Mr. Meixner did mention this already. Willy, would you like to reply to this?
Yes, I certainly do, sir. I mean, all around the globe, we already have various centers of competency. For example, the mid-sized gas turbines are, for example, also produced in Sweden. And these are what we call the centers of competence, where we've got the infrastructure in place, we've got the engineering skills in place, and where we also provide customer services, as Janina Kugel just mentioned. And these centers of competence, that's what it's all about. When we look at our global plan, We want to strengthen the sense of competence because it will allow us to also have similar work shifted to the sense of competence from other sites so that these centers of competence will be, well, sensibly and reasonably utilized and that we can work with a sensible cost structure, but that we can also, of course, retain skills and competencies that, for example, in our engineering departments means we've got the adequate number of employees where we have a center of competence with the right management, with younger and older colleagues, a good mix, and not, as we have seen over years, that you have adjust the capacity of the workforce, and then, as we see today, we just sometimes have a handful of engineers with whom we can have to plan a complete power plant. That won't work in future. These competencies need to be bundled, and that's what will happen in the centers of competency.
Thank you very much. Next question, please. The next question is asked by Angela Meyer from Manager Magazine. You have the floor. Mrs. Meyer, your line is open now. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was still on mute. Yes, hello. I have a more fundamental question concerning the structural change. In the industry, we have seen typical downturns. Why are you so certain that this is a structural change and break? Of course, the products get cheaper, there's higher demand, but then it is also discussed that coal should no longer be used, no more nuclear power plants as built, well, at least not as many as in the past. Why are you so certain that this is a permanent structural break? What is your forecast for the energy mix or the mix in energy generation? How do you see the situation in 3 to 5 years? I'm pretty sure that you base everything on a certain scenario.
I'll start with your first question. Why are we so certain that this is a massive structural change? Well, you will see and hear it, of course, in the public debate, or we sometimes hear we couldn't see this coming. But, I mean, for a number of years now already, and I am responsible for the division since 2015, we've actually monitored the situation and the scenarios very carefully. And we found that, of course, the power generation costs for the renewables are heading in a certain direction as well. We, I think, found that we managed in a number of countries in Europe quite well. We've coped with that quite well. And also in Asia, I think we stayed ahead of the game quite well. But what really caught us by surprise is the dynamism we saw, for example, in countries like the Middle East. Only 2 years ago, nobody would have thought that a country like Saudi Arabia, as the biggest oil or the biggest fossil fuel exporter, within the space of 2 years, decides, A, not to build another new power plant, and furthermore, then decides to have, 10 gigawatt of renewable power plants. And I mean, 10 gigawatts of renewables means at top peak in Germany would be 70 gigawatts. I mean, that's 15% of the entire power that we here in a day, in a given day in Germany, require. That is a substantial number. And I mean, if you would need a further proof of that shift, only listen to the latest announcement to have a new megacity built up from scratch in Saudi Arabia and to have that fully serviced by renewable energies. And this, especially under the auspices and the management of Mr. Klaus Kleinfeld. So you can see there's global trends coming that are really indicating this is a structural shift. This is a paradigm shift. And of course, if we exit, well, the coal-powered energy, and we have, of course, a debate in Germany that is, as you can see and as you will have noted, we are all agreed we have to cut down our CO2 emissions. That's obvious if you want to do anything about climate change. But by the same token, everybody is agreed that Germany needs to remain a stable industrial nation. So I'd say in power and gas, we will continue to see strong power uptake, for example, like in our factory in Mülheim, which means everybody involved needs to get to the table, sit down, and think about how we generate power and how we use power. And, of course, then you will end up with individual power plants. That's true. Otherwise, I mean, it would be a very ideological approach if you think you can do it otherwise. And at the moment, I can't see how somebody will just follow the ideological approach and find the financing for that.
Thank you very much. Next question, please. Yes. The next question is asked by Gregor Nikler from the Nürnberger Nachrichten.
Well, thank you very much. I would have one follow-up question regarding your solutions business here in Offenbach and Erlangen. You, Mr. Meixner, had said in your first statement that it will be bundled in Erlangen. And just now there, you said you want to strengthen your centers of competency, which, of course, in this case, would apply for Erlangen. But Mrs. Kugel, I'd say somewhat relativated this and said this is still part of the negotiations. But could we interpret this to mean that you, as the CEO of this division, will have this bundled in Erlangen? And as a second question, Mrs. Kugel, you said that in your experience, only about 10% of the employees follow when it is a matter of relocating. Does that mean if you merge sites in Erlangen, it could mean that you actually will see jobs being built up in Erlangen if these, well, workplaces will be amalgamated? A third and final question, the Works Council representatives have just issued a press release also on the results of the Economic Committee in which they write that given the new record earnings that the colleagues have clocked up, these measures are hard to swallow. I mean, have they failed to grasp what's happening, or why are they seemingly not sharing your opinion at all? And how come you've got this obviously very different appraisal of the situation?
Thank you very much for your question. Well, the first question should be answered by Mr. Meixner, I think. He has the floor.
I gladly do so once more. I already said at the start we've got three sites in Central Europe that build power plants. That's Erlangen, that's Offenbach, and that's Vienna. All three sites currently are working independently of one another, but also, of course, together to handle complex, big power plants. The aim is to bundle these three sites together. Now, our business plan foresees this work to be done in future in Erlangen, but we will watch very closely which skills and competencies we have at the different sites and what we want to do with these different skills. Just to give an example, I mean, in the gas power plants, it's not just the jobs of the engineers, the white-collar jobs, the merchant and the logistics scheduler and the likes, but there's other workers who are constantly, for example, out there on the construction site around the world. At the moment, for example, we are speaking of 400 workers that are seconded to Egypt right now. And once they're finished in Egypt, they hopefully will go to Pakistan, where we also won another major contract. Then maybe thereafter to Libya, if the security situation improves, and then maybe to Brazil. So you can see there is a large number of highly skilled employees who are overseeing these projects in different countries. And of course, you have to then look at these and, well, make sure that you retain these highly skilled colleagues, and where they will be deployed at the end of the day is something that is a matter for the upcoming negotiations. And I think here Mrs. Kugel was saying this a bit more indirectly. These are the very issues that we will have to address and solve. And whether he will then be deployed by Erlangen or somebody else, this is something I cannot say and cannot tell you as of today.
May I just answer your question concerning this point? As Mr. Meixner described, if the workers are at a construction site, they remain there for 1.5 years sometimes, depending on where the construction site is. Maybe they are working at our mega construction site in Egypt. And how shall I put it? Well, they then go to the periphery of Cairo within an hour, but there are other large-scale construction sites. The employees once a week reach the civilization, only once a week. The rest of the week they are working at the construction site. As Mr. Meixner clearly said, we are talking about engineers, planners, people who have a lot of experience. Now, we often see that our customer orders shift, then we need to go to different sites in the world. We have to go to countries which are not really highly developed countries. Let me put it like this. Given that, we have the experience that it's hard to motivate the employees to do that. but they can't do the job in their office alone. They have to be out in the field. And then it doesn't really matter whether they have an employment contract with us. Maybe they need an office sometimes to do IT infrastructure, and then they can do it in our offices without any problems. So the second question concerned the building up of new jobs in Erlangen. Well, this is hardly conceivable. Our intent is to bundle resources and competencies at three sites. So I don't really see jobs building up in Erlangen. Now, the requests of the employees' representatives, of course I received them even before you saw them. I also heard them. They were presented to me in the economic committee. It's hard to communicate it. We presented our profit last week, and it's hard for many to imagine that we now have to perform contractual changes and adaptations. Well, we have an entrepreneurial responsibility. That means that we have cross subsidies. Cross subsidies can only be done in case of economic downturn. But if it's a long-term economic problem, then the profit which we need elsewhere to boost investments into growth business divisions, well, if we only invested into structurally weak divisions, then of course we cannot be successful or profitable in the future. And the long-term profit leads to more jobs. So this is the entrepreneurial side and also the side of the employees' representatives. Thank you very much. Two more questions are in the pipeline. We will answer the questions, and then we will have to terminate the call at 5 o'clock. The next questions, please. Yes, the next question is asked by Thorsten Winzer of FAZ.
Good day from Frankfurt. I would have another question regarding Offenbach, because it's not quite clear to me what will happen to that site. 800 people will be affected in Offenbach, which means the entire site will be closed. Is that right? I'd like to have a clear-cut statement on that one. And I'd like to know how many jobs are affected. 800 employees is what you count at the moment in Offenbach. Will it all be affected? Minus the 10% that might move over to Erlangen. Thank you very much for a clear answer.
Hello, Mr. Winter. Unfortunately, I have to tell you that at the site in Offenbach, there are 687 employees. As I told Mr. Kühnen before, and please bear with me, I don't want to annoy you, but I think we have tried several times to describe to you what we are going to do with the site. The further steps can only be discussed with the employees' representatives. Unfortunately, we cannot give you more details in this regard today. I cannot give you a black and white answer which you would like to hear.
That means, if you allow me to follow up, that could mean a team remains alive in Offenbach?
Well, the negotiations will show it.
Thank you very much.
Question, please. The last question is asked by Anna Schwatz from Bild Nuremberg. Yes, hello. I would like to talk about a regional aspect about Nuremberg Erlangen. We heard that sites are affected, that jobs will be lost in the two-digit range in Nuremberg, but what about Erlangen? Because if employees are shifted from Offenbach, what is going to be the situation? Mr. Schwarzel, we presented our plannings today in PG and also PD. We talked about 220 jobs at both sites, so 100 in Nuremberg and 120 roughly in Erlangen. Now this spans the two divisions. Okay. Maybe you would like to know, you're not asking this question directly, but implicitly, many employees in the so-called white-collar segment are affected, so sales, support, HR, IT, etc. So it has to do with those segments, but also with engineers. I don't know whether I mentioned this explicitly for the sites in my introduction. It's not about affect the jobs in the plants themselves. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. There are no further questions. This is why we will terminate the telephone conference now. Thank you for your participation, for asking questions, follow-up questions. Thank you for your interest. Thank you to Mrs. Kugel, Mr. Brandes, and Mr. Meixner for your answers. A recording of the telephone conference can be found at www.siemens.com/teleconference. I wish you all a happy evening and see you soon. Goodbye. Thank you.